So when I talk about the left or the atheist left as a derogatory pejorative term, I'm not talking about your aunt who voted for John F. Kennedy. I'm not talking about run-of-the-mill Democrats who believe in unions. I'm not talking about people who are fans of Social Security or people who are fans of Medicare. I'm not talking about people who want public schools to have more money. Now, I don't agree with those people, but I don't have anything against them. Like, obviously, we're all free to disagree. I'm not even talking about Bernie Sanders, Angela Ocasio-Cortez supporters who want Medicare for all and free college. Those people are just confused and they don't understand money. That's fine. Nothing against those people. When I'm talking about the atheist left, when I'm talking about leftists, I'm talking about real communists, people who hate America, people who hate men, people who hate white people, people who hate Christianity and Christians, people who hate Western civilization as a whole and want to destroy it. Those people actually exist. There are people in this country, some of whom are involved in politics, some of whom are involved in the media, some of whom are in Antifa, some of whom are college professors and college students, graduate students, who actually hate Western civilization and want to destroy it, burn it to the ground. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who are actually a threat to our way of life. It's not equivalent to the Democrat thing where like all Republicans are Nazis or whatever. It's not the same thing. I'm not lumping in everyone who disagrees with me as being evil. I'm talking about evil people are evil. So with that all said, little disclaimer. Today's podcast is brought to you by my book, The Toxic Masculinity Crisis, available now on Amazon.com. The idea that masculinity is toxic has seeped deeply into Western civilization. The behavior of outliers, bad actors, has been used to demonize and vilify masculinity and men. So a man does something terrible and that's pointed to and said, well, there you go, that's toxic masculinity. In reality, that's a betrayal of masculinity and the patriarchy. So that's what the book spells out. It's time to remember what masculinity really is, what the patriarchy really is, why they exist, and that masculinity is the greatest force for good the world has ever known. So pick up the book, Amazon.com, also available on the Kindle Marketplace store app, whatever it's called. It's a little bit less expensive if you like your books electronic. It's a little bit cheaper. Anyway. So the world is abuzz with the news that Paul Manafort has been convicted of various white collar crimes. I believe mostly fraud and money laundering. And that President Trump's lawyer, Cohen, I think pled guilty to something. I think he pled guilty to giving money to whores to keep him quiet. And he might have said Trump told him to do it, or that he talked about it with Trump. I don't know. Something. Whatever. Stop pretending to be shocked. Corruption has been and is deeply seated in the United States of America. Business, the media, and the government have been corrupt for a very long time. And our government has done truly horrible things. The President of the United States possibly colluding with his lawyer to pay hush money to women that he had a relationship with, it's not even worth mentioning. JP Morgan is a name everyone knows, a big successful banker. How did J.P. Morgan get so rich? How did that bank become so big? Did you ever wonder? We can probably do this with every business in America, but let's just do J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan was the son of a successful banker from Connecticut, which meant something different after J.P. Morgan than beforehand, but regardless. As a young man, he set out on his own and went to New York City. And he was slightly successful. He was doing okay. And then one day, an opportunity arose. There was going to be a war. It was the 1860s. And the United States Army had tens of thousands of rifles that they had deemed useless, garbage, non-functioning, defective weapons. And they offered them up for sale, probably as parts or scrap metal or whatever the case may be. J.P. Morgan purchased them. And then, when the war started and the United States Army needed rifles, he sold them back to the United States Army as new rifles. So at some point, he sold his soul and decided to let United States soldiers march into battle and be slaughtered because their rifles didn't work in order for himself to make money. So why is that story not publicly and widely known? Why is J.P. Morgan's name on a bank to this day in Manhattan? How is it possible? Was it a secret? Did no one know till later? Are there no documents? Is there no proof? No. Everyone knew. There are documents. Here's how it worked. J.P. Morgan defrauded the United States federal government to the cost of millions of dollars and tens of thousands of lives of young men, and in the process became very wealthy. And the cost of fighting the war was expensive, and Lincoln knew that he needed money. He was going into debt to fight the Civil War, as you do with all wars, by the way, which is why we're trillions of dollars in debt. But anyway, so Lincoln, the saint, Saint Abraham, for some reason people love him, even though he was probably the least constitutional president in the history of the United States of America. And by the way, didn't free any slaves. Not the way you think. As a matter of fact, and this has nothing to do with today's podcast, Abraham Lincoln was president of a country that had slaves in it when Jefferson Davis was no longer a president of a country that had slaves in it. That's right. The last two states to have legal slavery were Maryland and Delaware, both in the Union. Anyway, so Lincoln realized he needed money. So he decided to not prosecute J.P. Morgan so that he could borrow money from him to pay for the war. So let's just backtrack. J.P. Morgan made a mint by defrauding the United States government and getting people killed. And the United States government decided not to prosecute him so they could borrow money from him at interest so he could make even more money. Isn't that lovely? How does the media play a role? I don't know. Does the Spanish-American War ring a bell? The United States wanted to go to war with Spain. The media provided all the cover they needed, all the propaganda they could ever dream of. And we did it again, by the way. It's not like, oh, that's an old example from the 1890s. We did it again in Vietnam, the Gulf of Tonkin incident. It was totally false, and the United States media went crazy talking about it. Made up nonsense. Fake news isn't new. Fake news is very old. The United States government has done horrendous, horrible things to its own citizens. They've experimented on people unknowingly with diseases, chemicals, and drugs. They committed murder. Fred Hampton is kind of the one that always stands out in my mind. The United States Federal Bureau of Investigations 100% went to an apartment in Chicago to murder Fred Hampton. It was a Black Panther young man, 19 or 20 years old, Black Panther's leader from Chicago. And they decided he was a troublemaker and they were going to kill him. So they did. No one was ever prosecuted. We've started civil wars in other countries. We've invaded sovereign nations for no reason. Don't even get me started on the drone program between Bush and Obama. My goodness. The most dangerous place to be in the world is a Muslim at a funeral, for crying out loud. The United States federal government imported cocaine and crack cocaine into the United States of America and sold it to American citizens to make money to pay for anti-communist, illegal anti-communist, unauthorized actions all throughout the 1980s. How many lives were ruined by crack cocaine that the United States federal government sold to the people of the United States? Congress is filled with disgusting, corrupt, filthy people. Nancy Pelosi is a wealthy, wealthy woman. Why? Well, her husband's involved in real estate. So what? Well, somehow or another, he's had some great opportunities to buy some great properties at a great price. Why do you think that is? He's just the luckiest guy in America whose wife happens to be a powerful politician? Right. That's possible. You could go that route, but they all are. You can't turn around without hearing about it. Charlie Rangel owns some sort of mansion on a Caribbean island. He's been censured for being corrupt, and nothing happens. We've talked before about how Congress has legislated itself into being legally allowed to practice insider trading. The Clintons were involved in corrupt land deals. Nobody doubts that they were involved in corrupt land deals. The whole Whitewater thing was a corrupt land deal. They just weren't guilty of a crime that they were prosecuted and convicted of. Speaking of the Clintons, quite a few people in connection to the Clintons have mysteriously died in very strange ways, including one man who was shot in the back of the head twice. You know, committed suicide. That's odd, don't you think? Dianne Feinstein had a Chinese spy work for her for 20 years. Is Dianne Feinstein the stupidest human being on the planet? Or is Dianne Feinstein aware of the fact that she had a Chinese spy working for her for 20 years? I'm going to go with the latter. That doesn't get talked about. This is just recent stuff. And the really big ones. In general, powerful people become powerful by being slimy and corrupt. That's pretty much how it works. It should come as no surprise. People are surprised that Michael Cohen is a slimy lawyer. Really? A New York City lawyer whose client includes billionaire businessmen and famous politicians, you think they hire him because he's such an ethical, pristine, sincere, legal mind? Really? You think that's why? Or you think it's because he's into it up to his elbows? Paul Manafort was found guilty of white-collar crimes, including, like I said, money laundering and fraud. When did these things happen? All of you, ha-ha, Trump folks. The crimes were committed when he was working with the Hillary Clinton campaign. It was not committed in Hillary Clinton's name or as a campaign person, but that's when it happened. Back then, when he was involved in the Democrat Party. Because these people know no party. Don't celebrate the corruption, the exposed corruption of the party you don't like. Don't be happy that people around Donald Trump are being found out. Don't be happy that the Clintons have been found out. You know, the Clintons who took money that was supposed to go to Haiti and earthquake relief and used it to get their daughter a fancy wedding. There's nothing good about that. Oh, wow, awesome, we got her. No, it's disgusting. It's horrible. And the people that you're a fan of are just as guilty. None of them are clean. It's all disgusting. John McCain, not my favorite person in the world, his wife is a major Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch Budweiser distributor. He opposed mixed martial arts, led a campaign to get it banned from the United States, called it human cockfighting, because Anheuser-Busch is a big sponsor of boxing, and boxing didn't want any pugilistic pay-per-view competition. And that's a minor example. I mean, that one's no big deal, I guess. We overthrow governments. We install brutal dictators. That's the big stuff that you can see. Valerie Jarrett in Kiev handing out refreshments to rioters who are actual Nazis who are trying to overthrow the democratically elected government of the Ukraine. That's big stuff you can see. That's not all the little backroom deals. Help me out with this. Get me this deal. Get me this contract. Oh, yeah, here, over there, one of these, one of those, one of that. We're all rich now. We're all friends. We're all corrupt. We're all rich. Media, corporations, government. Like I said, just look at who gets nominated to cabinet positions. Slimy Wall Street executives are on the revolving door. They go from being slimy Wall Street executives to being slimy Treasury secretaries to back to slimy Wall Street executives. It doesn't matter what party's in power. The Democrats, Republican, Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump. Slimy Wall Street executives. We have a federal agency called the Food and Drug Administration. Who runs that? Somebody from Monsanto. What about working at a company that makes agricultural products and sues farmers to oblivion on a regular basis makes you uniquely qualified to oversee the Food and Drug Administration? Nothing. But Monsanto is protecting their own interests, and politicians, both parties, let them do it. So the entire Trump experience, from the primary to the general election to his presidency, the idea that anybody is shocked or appalled that the actions of this administration have somehow tarnished the pristine, virginal virtue of the United States political system is so laughable. The idea that people who were involved at the FBI and the CIA and with government for all these years and have risen to the top of it are investigating other people who are involved in the United States government. These people all know each other. This is not some outsider. This is not 1919 Black Sox World Series scandal where they brought in a well-regarded judge to be the commissioner of baseball. This is Robert Mueller and a bunch of other slimy New York lawyers. You think they don't know Cohen and Manafort personally? Think they haven't had dinner together? Like, come on. People all know each other. They all go to parties together. The top bankers, the top industrialists, the top media people, the top politicians. It's one big group. The party system, the idea of ideology, is something that the peasants get to fight over. All us peasants down here can fight with each other about race and ideology. Programs that are never going to happen. We're fighting about a wall that's never going to be built. We're fighting about Medicare for all that's never going to happen. You doubt me? Go read the Affordable Care Act. You think that anybody in the Obama administration or in the Democrat Congress of 2009 actually gave a crap about whether or not people in the United States of America had health insurance? No. Come on, give me a break. How many health insurance companies went out of business since 2009? For all the rhetoric about, oh, they make too much profit, they make too much money. Tell me about the executives who've been fired for losing money for their stockholders. Tell me about the health insurance companies that have gone out of business because the Affordable Care Act forces them to have lower profit margins. It hasn't happened because that's not what it was about. It was never about getting you health insurance if you didn't have it. It was about getting more of your money and handing it off to their friends. Just like the pipeline thing. We were fighting, you know, all the peasants on the ground are fighting over the Keystone XL pipeline. And the environmentalists are like, oh, pipelines are bad. They disrupt the ecosystem. And the people on the right are like, oh, pipelines are awesome because it gives steelworkers jobs. Meanwhile, the elites are laughing. Nobody on the right is really going to go fight for steelworkers' jobs. And nobody on the left really cares about the environment. They all care about the same people. You think it's a coincidence that Obama came out against the Keystone XL pipeline and that Warren Buffett was his greatest ally and talking about rich people paying more taxes and the stupid narrative about his secretary paying a higher rate than him, knowing full well that she pays income tax and he pays capital gains tax and they're not the same thing? Think that's a coincidence? No. You know why? Warren Buffett owns the company that ships the oil that they wanted to put through the pipeline by rail, which is more expensive by a factor of about 10. It's billions in profit per year to Buffett. And by the way, all you environmentalists, it's way less safe. There are way more accidents and spills shipping oil by train than by pipeline. So they get you all ramped up, send you out there to fight with each other, and they're all laughing all the way to the bank. Over and over and over. And if it means some people have to die, so be it. Whether that be foreign people, whether that be funeral attendees in Pakistan, whether that be, I don't know, wanton, willy-nilly everybody in Yemen. If you got to overthrow a few governments like South Vietnam, Chile, you got to prop up some brutal dictators. You got to overthrow some brutal dictators. If you got to send some Americans off to fight a war based on false pretenses, let them all die. Whatever. It's all good. No big deal. Because to them, it's just a game. It's been like this for a really long time. Corrupt, slimy, greasy people making corrupt deals. Corrupt politicians making corrupt deals with corrupt business people and corrupt lawyers overseeing the whole thing and the corrupt media looking the other way. The greatest analogy for the United States system, in truth, is a WWE wrestling match where you have the heel, who's the bad guy, and depending on what side you're on, that's different, right? So it's either the Republican or it's the Democrat. That's the heel for you. And the other one's the white knight, the hero. Again, Republican or Democrat. And the media is the referee. And if you've watched any wrestling as a kid, you'll know something will happen to distract the referee. And he will turn around and talk to somebody whilst the heel does something awful. And the referee doesn't see it. That's what goes on here in America. The politicians are working together, spinning a fake narrative to entertain the people, and the media plays along. That's how it works. You don't think so? Try to go against it. See what happens to you. There's plenty of examples of people who just shunned completely out of the media business, are forced to the margins. Abby Martin on the left, Laura Loomer on the right. I'm not saying I agree with any of these people about anything. I'm just saying, if you want to go investigate corruption and tell the truth, you're not going to be at NBC or CNN or the New York Times or the Huffington Post or Fox News, or you're not going to be any of those places. Because they're not interested in the truth. They're interested in selling the story, selling the fight the peasants are having, because it gets eyeballs. But I'm just tired. I'm tired of people pretending, especially politicians. When left-wing politicians act all flustered and bothered and so offended by the activities of the Trump, oh my goodness, there might be some corrupt people in the Trump administration. Really? No trouble in the Obama administration, though. That was cool. And then all the people who were mad about the Obama administration, nothing going on in the Bush administration. Right? The no-bid contracts awarded to Cheney's old company that he was the CEO of the day before he was vice president and got his shares back after he was vice president and got millions of dollars. That's cool, right? No big deal. Halliburton. Really? That's cool. We're all cool with that, right? On the right, that's fine. No big deal. No, it's corruption. It's slimy, disgusting corruption. That's what it is. The solution, by the way, is not to continue on this path. The solution is not to continue to pretend that your side is wonderful and saintly and the other side is corrupt and dirty. Because when the Democrats or the left accuse the right of being corrupt and dirty, they're right. And when the right accuses the Democrats of being corrupt and dirty, they're also right. Common sense people look at the situation, step back and go, oh my goodness, it's disgusting. The wealthiest five counties in America, the highest income five counties in the United States of America, where are they? Beverly Hills 90210? Nope. New York City? Nope. I would say Detroit back in the day, but they are not doing that good anymore. Some other manufacturing hub, Silicon Valley? Nope. The wealthiest five counties in America all touch Washington, D.C. in a little circle right around it. That's unbelievably indicting of the system. All the money is in Washington. So America goes to work and works and works and works and sends their money to the Capitol. It's like the stinking Hunger Games. It's more likely that they build a wall around those five counties in D.C. than they ever build a wall on the southern border. Keep you out. Start doing crazy things with makeup and dresses and weird haircuts and just slurping the gravy off the top. But the solution isn't to vote for your guys to have more power. When Barack Obama starts legislating via executive fiat decision, you shouldn't be happy, even if he's making a decision that you like. Because eventually, guess what? There's going to be someone in there whose opinions you're not a fan of. And they're going to use that newfound power to do things you don't like. And the thing that's happening the whole time that none of you should like is the government is getting more and more and more powerful. We talked about the regulatory system before. That's ridiculous. Executive orders are supposed to be instructions to federal agencies, executive branch of government, on how to enforce laws passed by Congress. They are not supposed to be legislative documents. The Patriot Act is ridiculous. The spying on American citizens by the NSA and the CIA is criminally horrible. It's horrendous. It's still going on. As I record this, my own personal NSA agent is taking notes. That's not what America's supposed to be. And the solution isn't to get more power for people that you like. The solution is to get less power for everyone. To castrate the federal government. Things that you might not be a fan of politically. Balanced budget amendment is a good start. An amendment banning the income tax is another good start. Essentially, at the end of the day, the best way to destroy the federal government and to end the corruption and to stop having the five wealthiest counties all touch Washington, D.C., and to stop giving them incentive to go around the world and fight wars in your name and sell missiles to Saudi Arabia so they can shoot them at the people of Yemen and all this other stuff that goes on, and the Paul Manafort's of the world can use their influence in the government to make shady deals all over the world and millions of dollars. Is to take the power away. And the best way to take the power away is to take the money away. You want high taxes and lots of stuff? Pay it at your town level, maybe the county level. If you want to get crazy, have the state. I think the states are all too big. County. Pay lots of taxes at the county. Pay no taxes to the federal government. The federal government should essentially regulate interstate commerce, which should be barely a part-time job, and the military, that's about it. All the rest of the stuff, some of it you're a fan of, some of it you hate. It's not what they're supposed to be doing, and it's not good for you. And who it's good for is them. For the really, really powerful people who make things complicated and complex. The tax code is ridiculous. Spending bills are ridiculous. All this stuff is mired and murky and swampy and disgusting. Both sides. So don't tell me you're excited that Paul Manafort was convicted. Because the people who convicted him are probably guilty of the exact same thing. And don't tell me you're excited that Michael Cohen may or may not have slightly ratted out Donald Trump on basically a violation that's equivalent to the same thing that Barack Obama did on his own campaign, where he received a fine that the media didn't cover because they didn't want to. Let's put an end to this nonsense once and for all. Balanced budget amendment. Why balanced budget amendment? Because then the federal government can't borrow money anymore. $1 trillion a year they borrow. Well, where do you think that money's going? Some of it goes to people. Okay, fine. Most of it goes to their friends. Most of it goes to the five counties around Washington, D.C. As evidence of the fact that that's where all the wealthy people live. And then an amendment to ban the income tax. Why? Because they're directly taxing the American people, and the American people don't have a choice. You want to tax things? Have tariffs. I don't even care if you have a national sales tax. Go ahead. I can choose to not buy anything if I really want to. But I can't choose to not make an income. I don't know. If you get anything out of today's... two things in today's podcast. One, you should go buy my book. Paperback copy, $11.99. Electronic copy, only $4.99. And the second thing you should take away from today's podcast is power corrupts.